Let's go.
Welcome to the Extra Points, a podcast dedicated to all things miniature wargaming.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Ohio Hammer. This is Andrew Sherman, and back from the ashes, Bill Robertson and I are back. So today we have a very special guest, Brian Hughes. How are you doing today, Brian?
Good.
So you are now the grand poobah for Adepticon, is that true?
That is absolutely true. I have taken over the reins from Fergus the Gimp.
All right, so we're going to be talking a lot of Acon talk later on today. As far as my co-host here with me, Bill Robertson, how you doing today, Bill?
I'm supposed to speak? Kind of forgotten. This is a podcast, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little lost here. Yeah, I think we're supposed to talk to each other, right?
Just a smidge at some point in time.
Just a smidge, yeah. I just like Raz and Andy. I try not to be as mean as Rob, though. Anyway, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Siege of the Tower is put away now for, what, a week and a half or so?
Yeah.
Went really, really well. This year at Siege of the Tower was the first year ever in its 16-year history, in any tournaments that I've ever seen, where there was a perfect run on sportsmanship.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All the way across?
Nobody. Yeah. Fives every round, every player.
Wow. That's
five out
awesome.
Of five. Yeah. It was that good of a group. It was really kind of, generally I tell people I expect that kind of behavior out of them anyway. I expect people to get fives, and you know, it's totally okay to give your opponent a five, because some people are kind of confused about that. But yeah, this is the first year where it just went as smoothly as could absolutely be.
That's fantastic, man. That's fantastic. So that tournament was, you using the current rule set for that, right? 1.3?
Correct.
All right. So
and 30 people were there playing five rounds of Warhammer over the weekend, over 2 days. It's kind of interesting because I think there's going over the lists, going through the stuff, you know, kind of getting into some more details, which I hadn't really done in much of in 1.2 or 1.3, but going through, you know, 30 some odd lists kind of force you to look at the books in a little bit of a different way. And I'm going to say, I think there's definitely a lot of good things in 1.3 over 1.2, particularly the way they've loosened up a lot of the categories for, you know, so I think it's a lot easier to kind of make the army that you want. And they've kind of some of the nastier combos maybe aren't possible, but I'm okay with that. And it's another interesting thing that I saw, you know, a lot, there's some distress about the state of Magic, and I think it does need some work. But you know what? There are plenty of people with Wizard Masters with four spells and the Book of Arcane Power.
Really?
Plenty of armies who were exactly investing a lot in Magic. So it was definitely interesting to see.
Okay, awesome. You want to give a quick shout out to the winners?
Yeah. I pulled them up on WarScore just now. So in first place was Maxwell Lapora. Second place was Neil Hamilton. And third place was a local guy, Tom Minter. Tom moved to Columbus last year from Connecticut. He has a really, really cool Chaos Army, which is kind of themed after Frank Miller's Sin City,
okay,
where most of the characters are black and white, except for the characters who are in color. And then fourth place is Brian Amburn. Brian used to be from Erie. Now he's living up in near Lansing. In fifth place, our local hero, Doug Mooney.
Cool, cool.
So, yeah. So he Doug Marined his way up. And yeah, we like teasing Doug a little bit and trying to work his name into any sort of phrase we can. But yeah, Doug's a great guy, and it's good to see him doing well in a tournament.
Good.
Mr. Lapora, as many of you may know, he played Infernal Dwarves. Neil Hamilton had Dread Elves. Tom was Warriors. Brian Amber was Equitaine. And Doug Mooney was also Warriors. Interesting little factoid about the tournament. There were six Highborn Elves armies. Six of them.
That doesn't surprise me very much because, you know, we had the same kind of thing over at Buckeye last year.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's popular in ninth.
I think so. I think they're also good, even without the dumb sloop build, you know, that you can't really do anymore. And then there were five Warriors Army. Those were the two most numerous.
How many Empire missing, players?
Zero. Zero. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
And also missing were Orcs and Goblins. So I got to say, I think that's the first tournament also where I've ever run no Empire, no Orcs and Goblins. Maybe that's why sportsmanship went so smoothly. What do you think of that, Andy?
It's very possible. I was at a Powderpuff Derby for my daughter, which is basically a Pinewood Derby because she's in Girl Scouts. So I couldn't go represent the men of the Empire. So and Brian didn't make the trip yourself to over to see just time. So you were busy as well, weren't you?
Yes.
But
yeah, I was pretty much just stuck at home working, taking care of things here.
Are you actually getting a chance to get any games in? That way, you know, you can get.
I've got.
Yeah,
I've gotten a couple games in, actually. The earliest one is actually against Team Silva and his Orcs and Goblins against my dwarf.
Interestingly what enough, the conversation moves to everybody who doesn't come see Bill.
Yeah, so he's got that up on YouTube for anybody that wants to check that out as well.
Cool.
But we played 5,000 points just at the Dice Dojo on a Saturday afternoon.
Awesome. Most of my games lately, of course, have been going with Jay, you know, Jay Fares, who actually showed up at the tournament, was a 3-2 for the Siege. I was very happy with that. That's probably the first tournament that I seen he actually had a winning record at in a long time.
Yeah, I think Jay did pretty well. He was 18th overall. Jay did great. In fact, I know he smashed his opponent in his first round. I remember that. I think I was texting you about that.
He was.
So that was exciting to see.
Was very impressive. But he's been the only person I got a chance to play against recently. So, you know, we're getting still our Tuesday night games in, just not getting very much more than either 5,000 point games, or we're playing some 3,000 point games occasionally too to try to keep time frames down. So, but Brian, let's go on to the main topic and let's start talking about Adepticon, because that's coming up. It's right around the corner. What are the dates again? Remind me, because I'm a schmuck and I've been living in this world where I just work.
So the dates are actually March 23rd. Through March 26th. So it's March 23rd is the Thursday, 24th, 25th, and 26th. And we're once again kicking it off on Thursday with Big Brawl and Warbands.
Okay.
Those two events are coming back.
For people who might be driving in on Thursday, what time does the Warband start?
Warband starts at 2 p.m. this year instead of like we had it last year on the Sunday. So this one, it got moved to Thursday at 2 p.m. to 10. Big Brawl is still the all-day event, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The team tournament on Friday is also going to be a all-day 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. event. And then we're actually doing a grand tournament this year instead of a four-game marathon that we did last year.
You have a fabulous ringer team lined up for Friday for the doubles event. That'll be Ian Fergus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm learning something new all the time.
Dude, come on. We told you this.
Who's part of this, Fergus?
That's just remember, in this match, in this team, I'm the big spoon in this team.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So.
All right. I'll keep that in mind.
That's definitely.
Remember, Ferguson's kind of a little pushy guy, though.
Yeah. He's a little spoon. He's a little spoon, and he knows it. He may try to talk a big game, but he's just overcompensating.
Okay.
Well, anyway, before I interrupted you. You should continue on, please.
That's all right. So, yeah, this year is the Grand Tournament Saturday and Sunday. Point-wise, we've got Big Brawl at 6,000 points. The Warbands is 3,000. It would be 1,500 old rules, 3,000 new rules. And then the team tournament is actually 2,250 a side with 4,500 points total. And then the GT is sticking with the 4,500 points.
So go over the dates again. Thursday's Warbands, Friday's Big Brawl and team?
No. Big Brawl and Warbands are both on Thursday.
Okay. So Friday is team?
And then Friday is team.
And then Saturday, Sunday is GT.
Correct.
Okay. How many slots do you still have open? I thought we only had basically one or two more slots for the GT.
So, due to popular demand, we have actually been moved to a larger area than we were originally slotted for.
Okay.
Do we get to go to the big boy room?
Yep, we got moved to the big boy room.
Oh.
So for the team tournament, we were actually able to get 16 more slots, and I was able to get 10 more slots more than the 5 originally I got. So I actually, because of the move, we got a total of 15 more slots for the GT.
Very cool.
How many spots is that total then?
We'd be looking at we're looking at a 48 person GT.
That's awesome.
That's good.
That's awesome. Good job, Brian.
That's very good. Thank you.
Yeah, I couldn't have done it without the community. They really stepped up.
So signups, they're still up, correct?
Correct.
So how do you go about signing up?
You just go to the Adepticon website, go to the events list, look for Fantasy Battles 9th Age, and then you'll see the 4 events, and you just sign up.
For all of them.
Do you remember what the cost was for each?
Of course, you would ask the hard questions.
Oh, this is professional casting, sir. You need to be prepared. This is like fake news channel here. We ask the tough questions.
For the cost, we were able to actually lower the costs this year than we had last year.
Okay.
So, give me one more second here.
See, Andy never realized that because he's actually made of money. So, Andy, are you coming this year? You coming out to Adepticon? Maybe?
Could be? We'll see. We'll see. It is around my birthday. We'll see if the wife lets me. I'm actually getting on Adepticon's website right now for the first time in probably about a year and a half. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, so 9th Age Big Brawl is $25. Warbands is $15. The team tournament is $50 this year.
That's for two players, though. That's right?
Correct. That is $50 for both players.
Yes.
And $40 for the grand tournament.
Very reasonable price.
Very reasonable price.
But just to give you a little, for last year, for Warbands was 25. Big Brawl was 30 or 35. The team tournament was about $70. And the grand tournament was about 50, I want to say. Able to actually lower those prices.
All right. Good job. Very
cool.
Thank you.
So what else would you like to cover about Adepticon, Brian?
So, also new this year is we actually have our own Adepticon email, so we can actually get lists prior to the events instead of spending 2.5 hours going through everybody's list before the event even starts. So, for lists, we actually have ninthageatadepticon.org as our email, which will also be in the rules packet.
Is ninth spelled out like N-I-N-T-H-A-G-E?
No, it's nine and then the T-H.
So 9th at adepticon.org or com?
9th at adepticon.org.
Okay. And I assume that's just like a hotline straight to you?
Correct.
Awesome. So, you know, if you want to stalk Brian, you now have his email address.
It likes to put the lotion on.
Whoa, that escalated quickly.
You know what, Bill? I also have your email, so I'll just, you know, forward to you.
Sweet. I'll make sure to respond, you know, as if I'm somehow official. Well, this is Brian here, and yeah, you can definitely do that. In fact, you should point out to your opponents that he told you you could.
and then you'll be like, and on behalf of all the Adepticon staff, we're committing that we give you a free hotel room. I can see that going over real well.
Oh yeah,
so real well. So it might not be a good idea to go ahead and forward it on the bill.
Just saying.
Oh, so one more thing for these scenarios. They will be run straight out of the Ninth Age book.
Okay.
It will be 100% scenarios, secondaries, the 17-3, the whole nine yards. Everything is being run out of the book.
What do you think of the way the secondary ejected points work, Brian? With the 6-point swing.
Yeah, I think it's a bit deep. You're really playing that objective and fighting for it tooth and nail, because a 6-point swing is really, I mean, a 10-10 all of a sudden becomes a 13-7.
Right. Have you ever, in your experience, have you seen many games where, you know, somebody won the VP game but lost the scenario? Do you see many flips like that, or? Do you think it's going to be a win more sort of thing?
No, I have seen the flip. Okay. Where they were, well, actually at Dragon Con last year, I was with my Dwarven Holds. I was winning the VP race, but I lost the secondary.
Okay. So,
my small win became a small loss.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting in Siege where in round one, where that kind of scenario was all mine, there were the most flips in that round than any of the other scenarios. And otherwise, it was kind of scenario dependent. I'd have to go look at the stats, but, you know, there were some scenarios where there were more flips than others. So it doesn't seem like, I think in general, it's, you know, at least as far as I can tell, it's not a guaranteed win more sort of thing. There is definitely a way to, you know, snatch something out of the jaws of defeat with that swing. I think it definitely forces people to really evaluate the way they do their lists. I think the person who did that best was Neil Hamilton, because he ended up with the most bonus points out of the tournament, and you know, it got him to second place. So. It's very interesting phenomenon to observe.
Yeah, definitely. definitely. I mean, that secondary objective is definitely king. There are tournaments out there that I know that are actually running a third objective that is actually worth plus one. So you have the secondary worth the plus three, and then a third worth the plus one to kind of offset how much the secondary really is.
Okay, that's interesting.
But I don't know. I don't know how that's going over though. I haven't heard any reports on it.
Okay. Any particular reason why you picked straight out of the book?
Mostly. Well, one, because ease.
Yes.
I mean, I've got the scenarios and everything just right there. And, you know, with Adepticon, you can't really put out, like, if you really wanted to do your own type of, like we had last year, like we had our own type of scenarios, we couldn't get those out to the players so they could actually practice, read them, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
With Ninth Age going straight out of the book, you know, all the scenarios are there. You can practice all day long. There's not going to be any, you know, real jump out at you like, okay, I really wish I had this because the scenario demands it kind of deal.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think that's a perfectly good reason. And, you know, Siege was much more out of the book than it has been in a long time. Like I said, I think I mentioned that the first scenario was all mine, but the other ones were basically they were pretty much all straight out of the book, with the exception of the deployment zone in round three. So it was kind of an experiment on my part to see how that went. You know, I didn't really hear from the players one way or the other, whether they thought it was good or not, but it was kind of interesting how, you know, I could basically fit those scenarios into my sort of handwritten scenarios from previous years without really a whole lot of adaptation. So there's a fair bit of flexibility in them. Excuse me.
We learned that with WCW Throwdown last year. We were using the Ninth Age scenarios, but we were able to actually word them and fit them into the whole wrestling theme really, really easily.
Yeah.
So you can customize them pretty well.
Yeah. It's definitely a really well-written system. I don't know, Andy, you have any thoughts on that?
Haven't played enough in a tournament to be able to tell one way or the other, but I don't mind the secondary objectives. I don't mind the different setups I'm hearing about online so far. So I think it would work well. It's definitely not stopped me from attending. What stopped me is Powder Puff races and Girl Scouts at this point in time. And no, not because I'm an attendee, Brian, not because I'm in it, but because my daughter. So we're clear.
Right. That's just what you tell your wife, right? I'm going to take the daughter to the Girl Scouts, right?
I need to wear this dress, honey, so she feels, you know, like I'm fitting in.
That's awesome. I've been caught. That's awesome. All right. Well, guys, I mean, it's been a while since we cast it. I think that kind of covers Adepticon as a whole, doesn't it?
It does.
So since it's been a while since we cast it, I think we'll keep this one a little shorter than normal. And we'll hopefully come back to you soon with more feedback on what's coming up with Adepticon. And probably see if we can't get back on Brian sometime in the future. And maybe we'll do a rules discussion or something since we actually have 1.3 and we're going to be coming back online. How about that? So on that note, guys, Bill, Brian, thanks for coming on. Want to make a special reminder to everybody, get out to Adepticon's website. That'd be adepticon.org. Get yourself signed up for the Ninth Age events. Get your butt off the chair and actually get back into the community, okay? It's going to be a great time. Enjoy it. And until next time, enjoy the game.
This podcast is brought to you by the Ohio Hammer Network of Podcasts. If you like the show, please check out our site, www.ohiohammer.com. or you can follow us on Twitter. Our addresses are at OhioHammer2011, at RetroAlias, and at Jake_OhioHammer. All products and companies talked about on this podcast are the respective property of their owners, and the Ohio Hammer Network makes no claim to said property. As always, guys, enjoy the game.